the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
How would you like to have a clear conscience, a good conscience? Well, Peter's going to talk about that today. We're in 1 Peter chapter 3, starting with verse 16. And after he gets through saying some things about suffering and our conduct, he talks about having a good or a clear conscience. Again, Bert Harper and Alex with you today, and it's our joy to go through the book of 1 Peter. And it's just been a great, great journey. We talked about our great salvation. Then we talked about willful submission. And now we're talking about suffering. And so that is good material for 2021. So Alex, when we look at 1 Peter, and it says in verse 16, again, some versions say clear conscience, other good, but it means to have a good conscience, you mean you have to have a clear one. And so we want to have that they defame you, when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. In other words, are we going to expect criticism? Are we going to expect people mocking us as believers, even when we're doing good? Can we expect that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, there have been a lot of sayings about it, but yes, sometimes people are just viciously criticized and scrutinized and you know, really beaten down even when they're doing good things. But listen, that old saying, I wouldn't begin to know where it originated, but the best pillow is a clear conscience. Do you remember that saying?
I have heard that. You can sleep good at night, can't you?
You can sleep good when you don't have to think about, you know, fixing things that have gone wrong or taking back words that you said that were not true or something like that. And so the Bible has a lot to say about the character that we project before a lost world. And doing right and loving people, even if you get criticized unjustly. Bert, you remember Jerry Falwell?
Yes.
And he founded Liberty, Thomas Road Baptist, and he was a great man of God. And sometimes the local newspaper in Lynchburg would just be merciless and criticize Dr. Falwell because he was a preacher of God's Word. But he would always say, he said, don't answer your critics. Don't, you know, don't get into a mudslinging contest. Just smile, pray for them, keep on going. And even as a Christian, and I think our environment nowadays is more this way than ever, Christians are mocked. Christians are made fun of, criticized, but it's not us. It's the Lord they've really got a problem with, isn't it?
It is. And notice what it says, who revile your good conduct in Christ. You know, when Christ comes in, Paul talks about it. Peter refers to it, but Paul really takes it. The putting on, like the armor of God, putting on the new clothing. But he says, take off the old. So this good conduct, it says conversation, but it's talking about your lifestyle, your conduct. Those who revile that good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. Now, the shame may come later, but we stand, and like Dr. Jerry Falwell Sr. said, that we don't have to answer them. We don't answer them. We answer to Christ. And that's the whole idea, and to be more like Christ. That's our whole goal. Our God's desire for our heart is for us to get right with Him, to be saved, and to glorify Him forever. That's our purpose for being. And so I believe this verse, really, after he talks about sanctifying God as Lord of your hearts and being ready to give a defense, after you've suffered and do it with meekness and fear. We didn't spend a lot of time on meekness and fear, but meekness has the idea. It's not weakness, but it's teachable. Be ready to be taught, and with fear, that means the idea of reverence toward God. We know that we're going to give an account. So having that already, you can have a good conscience. That's a clear conscience, and that's not the only place that it talks about that. In Hebrews chapter 13, 18, Alex, it talks about that good conscience. It says, pray for us, for we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. That was the writer of Hebrews, whomever it may be, said, we have a clear, a good conscience. And so I just want to tell you, guilt is difficult. False guilt is wrong. So I just want to throw this in and then we can go on. Don't let Satan's false guilt cause you to live in anguish and fear. You know?
Yes.
False guilt. Dr. Dobson, your former boss that you got to work with for some years, a man that influenced so many of our lives, mine and Jan's are one of them, that he influenced so greatly with his books and his radio broadcasts. But he talked about that don't let false guilt make you less than God has made you.
Mm. Yes, and we have to give ourselves permission to feel okay in Christ, you know? And look, I believe in accountability and, you know, holding ourselves, you know, accountable. But as a born-again believer, we are set free in Christ. And don't we maybe, by trusting what God's Word says, that, Bert, we've got to give ourselves permission to be okay with ourselves.
Yep.
Because the righteousness of Christ has been imputed to us. Our sins are washed away. The Spirit indwells us. And as Colossians says, we are complete in Christ. Verse 18, Christ suffered for our sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Praise the Lord. Being put to death in the flesh, made alive by the Spirit, quickened. In other words, Jesus rose from the grave. And now this is a very famous passage, verse 19, that much has been said and written about it. Jesus went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which were sometimes disobedient, but when the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, wherein a few, eight souls were saved by water, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus. Now, let me just point out two things here. Jesus went into the realm of the dead to the believing, the saved saints of old, a proclamation of victory. To the unsaved and the demons in Tartarus, only time that word is used in the Bible, this prison for fallen angels, there was a proclamation of condemnation.
Right.
But the baptism of salvation, verse 21, let me say, because of all the verses that we have that speak to salvation, this is not saying that what saves you is merely water baptism. We're baptized into Christ through repentance and faith. And Jesus rose, gone into heaven, verse 22, the ascension, and is on the right hand of God the Father, angels and authorities and powers being made subject to him. You and I were talking about that earlier today in reference to Hebrews 1, weren't we?
We were. And when you see this, I think there's a very important way to look at verse 20 about eight souls saved by water, some, but it's through water. And I know that Greek word can be used in different ways, but that's the, if you take it by water, they were saved by water, and it goes into baptism. Are you saved by the water baptism? The whole idea here, they were saved through water. In other words, the judgment that came upon them, they were saved. The water bore the ark up in a way. You know,
yes,
they were.
Yes.
They were. And here, notice the baptism. I think you got it right on the money. It's an inward thing. Notice what it is. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh outward, but the answer of a clear conscience toward God, the inward part of man. So this baptism we're talking about is the saturation of our souls by the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit coming into our lives, changing us, giving a whole different direction. And it's through what? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, I loved what Peter does here. He says, everything that I'm telling you about giving an answer, everything I'm telling you about salvation, everything I'm telling you about submission, everything that I've taught you and have written to you about what's taking place is what? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In other words, if the resurrection is not real, guess what happens to everything I've said before you? It comes tumbling down, Alex. It really does.
It does. The Christian house of doctrine would implode on itself.
It would.
If he's not risen. The resurrection is the key for everything. It really is. And I love what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, if Christ be not risen, we have no hope, but Christ is risen.
Hallelujah.
He is. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 4, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live in the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. All right, basically what this is saying is, if you're a Christian, then you've accepted what Christ did on the cross. And since he paid it once and for all, and sin has been defeated in the life of the believer, sin should be abandoned. We don't live as victims or slaves of sin anymore. And, you know, the mind of Christ, it begins in the mind. Doesn't behavior emanate from belief?
It does. And what you have here, you have Paul and Peter, and we've done this quite a bit. You can't help but compare Peter with Paul and the writer of James and the writer of Hebrews, because the themes are real, and one of them is this kind of a mind, not a double-minded mind, but a single-mindedness toward Christ. And here it is, therefore. Now, again, every time I see therefore, I ask the question, what's it there for? Notice the statement yeah. that he's made before. Look at the last one in verse 22. Who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him. You remember what it says in the book of Philippians? It says God has given him a name that is higher than any other name. Now, he was high when he left, but because of obedience, far as the Father was concerned, he had elevated him. You catch what I'm saying? To the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. Because Christ has done that, therefore, Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. Now, the mind of Christ, arm yourself. Alex, I want to really come down on that arm. It means that he guards your heart, but it's not just defensive. This is offensive. In other words, Philippians 4:8, using Paul again, think on these things. Really, it says meditate on these things, that which is real, that which is true, that which is pure. That's the way you arm yourself. It starts in the mind, doesn't it? What we think.
Well, it really does. And that's why we must feed ourselves with Scripture. It's been said, this is not original with me, but, you know, the Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. That's why we often say, you know, have a daily devotional and read the Word and listen to Exploring the Word, because the more that we saturate our mind with God's truth, the more that with the power of the Holy Spirit, we're going to be able to resist temptation or things that are false when they come along.
And what we want to get to in verse 2, the will of God. Alex, we have people calling in. They text us. How do I know the will of God? Well, we're going to talk about that in just a moment as we come back for more of Exploring the Word in 1 Peter chapter 4. Don't go away.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor. She's an associate justice in her 13th year of serving on the U.S. Supreme Court. James 4:17 reminds us of the importance of justice, righteousness, and doing good work. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask for guidance for Justice Sotomayor as she serves on our nation's highest court. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team. Join us as we pray for God's guidance for the President and his administration as they begin their term. It's the 100 Days of Prayer.
Details at pausetopray.org.
Some stains you find in your clothes won't come out using regular detergent. Dr. Tony Evans says that the stain of sin works the same way. He'll build on that comparison today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
You remember your grandmother, great-grandmother, when she was washing clothes, used the washing board. Arms get tired, have to take a break for a while, come back and do it again, and then you got a lot of clothes. You know, it takes days to do it. A lot of hard work to clean those clothes with the washing board. But lo and behold, technology, a washing machine. What would you say if you purchased a washing machine for your grandmother and she was using a washing board? You would say, Grandma, you don't get it. You don't need that when you have this. What many people want to do is get out of their addiction by their own scrubbing effort. And for a while, it looks like it's clean, but when they look it up, it ain't that clean. And they try again, they try again. When God says, no, 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 what you must do, watch this, continue in my truth, and you will know the truth. To have victory over the master of sin, you must abide in the truth. So if you are battling something, here's what I want you to do this week. Every day, I want you to read Romans 6, 7, and 8. Why? Because Romans 6, 7, and 8 is going to tell you the truth about the master called sin, whatever that sin is.
Learn how to break strongholds and defeat the devil. Check out Tony's CD series, Spiritual Warfare, available online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
As we go, let us make disciples. As we go, let us tell the world of Christ.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word, Alex and Bert. So glad you're listening. We're in 1 Peter 4. In the New Testament, just a few short minutes, we're going to open up the phones for calls. If you have a Bible question, whether it's related to 1 Peter or not, any Bible question, we'll do our best to give you a good answer. And that number, you might want to write it down, it's 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. We just love to hear from all of you. And a lot of times people tell us they're praying for us, or they share victories of things God is doing in their lives. And Bert, we just feel like we have a kind of a big nationwide Bible study group, and each and every one of you, you really mean a lot to us. You do.
We do, Alex, and we try. Alex and I, we feel like that. We're not just blowing smoke, as some people call it. We believe it, and we enjoy hearing from you, and we believe. And I'll use this as a segue into what I want to talk about. We believe it's the will of God for Alex and myself to be here on Exploring the Word. Now, it's an honor. God could do it without us. He could choose to use a lot of people. But I'm thankful that in His will, He's let Alex and myself be a part of Exploring the Word and asking you to be a part of it. Now, what in the world, how can you know that the will of God? Verse 2 has a lot to say. Notice it says, no longer should you live the rest of his life, or your life, in the flesh for the lust of men. Now, most of the time when we see that lust of men, we think of sexual lust of men or many things. You remember what John talked about, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. All of those are a part of the lust of men. You don't live in that. And Paul talked about it. Peter's talked about it. You crucify it. That what? But the will of God. And I want to put that. How in the world do you do it? You do not walk in the flesh, but you walk in the Spirit. And the Spirit is the Holy Spirit in your life coming and obeying Him. He will reveal. Let me share with you. And Alex, I want you to take it away. I found out observing, reading the Word of God, which is paramount, and then experiential in my life. So three witnesses, you know, there, that the will of God is revealed as you walk in the light. You catch what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The reason sometimes that I may not see God is because I need to walk in the light and move in the light, and He'll reveal to me. Now, our purpose is the same. It is to be saved and glorify God. That's God's purpose for your life. But His specific plan for your life will be revealed as you go through it. Alex, I noticed you haven't stayed at the same place. You were with Dr. Dobson. You was with a seminary, and now you're an evangelist, an apologist, working here with AFR. Each
yes.
one of those, God revealed to you as you went your way. Did it not happen that way?
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, there's an old saying, you know, even God can't steer a parked car. And, you know, the Great Commission says, go into all the world and make disciples. The Great Commission, Matthew 28. And it really does mean as you are going, you know, along
yes.
the journey of life. Sometimes young people ask me about knowing the will of God. And obviously, being on the pathway that God has for you, friends, number one, you need to be saved and make sure that you're born again, make sure that you're saved. And then, because, see, Bert, I think there's a basic checklist of a believer's life, and you're not going to get some of the deep things of God unless you've got the basics to know that you're saved, to have truly repented of sins. You don't want to have known, unconfessed sin in your life, to be in church. I don't think you're going to get the full favor and the leading of God if you're not in church, because part of being a disciple is to be in a church. And I know you can be saved and be out of church, but I'm old school, but I think it's biblical. If you want a direct, clear line to heaven and be able to hear from God, be led by God, I think you need to be doing the things a disciple does, one of which is to be in church.
Alex, and you're setting it right, because remember where you are, but I want to look at this. It's so important. Notice the will of God in verse 2, and the will of the pagans or the Gentiles, but it really talks about pagans, a lifetime of doing the will of the pagans. And then it describes it, lasciviousness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries.
Yes.
In other words, the reason I wanted to crash what you were saying is contrast what I've just read with what Alex was just listing. Alex mm-hmm. listed those things of staying in the Word, of praying, being in church, serving others. All of those are in complete opposition to what you see in verse 3. Verse 3,
yes.
Everything one of those is selfishness. It's me. It's my lust. It's my desire. You don't live fulfilled lives doing your will. That's the whole idea. You're going to do God's
will.
That's
true. And I want to connect 2, 3, and 4. And, you know, I've often thought verse 3, that does kind of sound like Paul, because Paul made a lot of lists.
He did.
If you read like 2 Timothy 3 or 1 Corinthians 6, Paul was a great writer of lists. And right here, Peter, you know, he's got his A game too, you know. He writes all these things that we used to do, but now we don't do. And let me say this, talking about being in church and being a disciple, and I definitely believe, folks, I cannot overstate the benefit of having a daily quiet time.
Oh, me.
And get you a good devotional book. Josh McDowell wrote a book called The One-Year Book of Family Devotions. And, of course, I love so many of one by an old Scottish man, Sidlow Baxter, Awake My Soul,
yep.
and a daily devotional. But here's one thing that I want to say. In times past our life, you know, we did the will of the Gentiles, lasciviousness, lust, all those things. All right, let me say this. You should live a holy life because you love Jesus and because you're grateful and it's the right thing to do and you want to grow. But one of the benefits of being in church and serving and using your gifts and you're obeying the Lord, let me say, you get busy for Jesus, you're not going to have time to get into mischief. You read me?
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to be as practical as I can. Idle hands can be the tools of the devil's workshop. And if you want to make sure that you don't fall into sin, obviously walk with the Lord. But be about the things of God, and you're not going to have time for the things of the flesh.
Alex, that is so right. Let me give one addendum to that is, don't let pride build you up while I'm doing it. You know? That, you know what I mean? It should humble you.
Don't be a Pharisee. Yeah,
it should humble you that God has called you out of that into his marvelous light. And if pride begins to build you up and said, I don't smoke and I don't chew, and you remember the old saying, and I don't run around with those that do. Man, we're full of cliches today, aren't we? But, you know, if that starts building up in your life, I just want to tell you, you're headed downward. Going to be like those Pharisees that were on the outside, they were whited walls, but on the inside, they were full of dead men bones. Don't go there. Let Christ reign in your mortal bodies. By that, it's doing exactly what you said. You're doing what God wants you to do because you've been changed. It says, be ye holy. You know?
Yes.
Come out from the, and be ye separate. My wife and I were talking about the importance of the word be all through the Old Testament and New Testament. God wants us to be, and when we're doing that, we're to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Alex, that's exactly what Peter's getting to, isn't he, in this message here?
Yes, and you know, the Gaithers have given the world so many wonderful songs. And there was a song that Bill Gaither wrote many, many, many years ago called Thanks to Calvary, I Don't Live There Anymore. And there's this line, he says, I went down to the place I used to go. I saw that old crowd that I used to see. When they asked me what had happened, I said, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. Well, verse 2 and verse 4, that we don't do that anymore. We no longer live the way we used to live. Verse 4, they think it's strange that you don't run with them anymore. Kind of sounds like an Andy Griffith line there. But it really means, in verse 4 in the original language, it says, you are no longer remaining in the former things. Why? Because we've changed lanes on the highway. I love how 1 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. See, you were in one lane going down the highway of life, death, sin, darkness, carnality. Well, your car is in a brand new lane on the highway, life. You're going to reach a destination in this pathway called heaven. Don't go back into the old lane because that's a place to crash, right?
It is.
All right, verse 5. They speak evil of you. But God will give an account to him who is ready to judge the quick and the dead. Verse 5 says that we, even though they make fun of us, they speak evil, it's a puzzlement. They think it's strange that you don't run with them anymore. Speaking evil of you, who will give an account to who? God. All right, part of the reason, friend, don't let anybody pressure you into doing things that you know are wrong. Don't let anybody pressure you into violating your conscience. And I'll tell you why. Because you're not going to, on Judgment Day, give an account to your fraternity buddies. And you're not going to give an account to your past, you know, drinking buddies. You're going to have to give an account to God. And I've had people say, you know, everybody makes fun of me for this or that. But listen, that person whose opinion we obsess over, they didn't hang on a cross and die for you. Amen. Jesus did. And let's live our lives mindful of the one who did give his life for us and the one that we're going to face and give an account to.
The living and the dead is going to give an account. I want to tell a quick story here about a former member. His name was Don. He's gone to be with the Lord. He was a faithful member. He came by every week in my office, and he would pray for me. He would pray, Lord, be with God's messenger boy. And I wore that title with honor. That's all I wanted to be, God's messenger boy for him. And that's not a derogatory. That is powerful. But he had been a drunk. That's what he called himself. Mm-hmm. And he said God saved him, delivered him. And the job that he was at, he had this assistant. And every Friday, when he was getting off, that assistant, how about going with me and going to me and let's go get a drink? And Don would always say, nope, I don't do that. I God delivered me for that. I don't do that. And he said, now sometimes, every once in a while, on difficult days, and it'd been a difficult Friday, he'd remember back in the past when he would take one of those drinks and it would give him some kind of relief, you know. And he said, it was tempting, but I knew I did not need to go back into that life. Well, that assistant, years later, got saved. And he told my friend, Don, he said, I was testing you. I was praying.
Oh, wow.
I was praying you'd never go with me because I knew it was real. I knew it was real what God had done. And because of the reality of your salvation, because of God's deliverance in your life, I knew it was real. And Christ is now Lord of my life. So don't run with them, Alex. That's the whole idea. There's a difference. And I've tried, as pastoring, and especially with young people, I tried to, how do I say that? You don't defriend them, but you don't pal around with them. You know, a pal's the people you do things with. You do friends, you can keep a distance and still be a friend. You can keep that differential between you and still be that friend. It's not haughtier than thou. It's not better than thou, but it's because Christ is in your life. There, many of them are looking for the difference in your life, even though they may mock you, even though they laugh at you, they're still looking at the difference. Stand for Christ. Amen?
Amen. Well said. Well said. You know, up through verse 11, it's talking about how that we are to act and live. And I love how verse 7 says, the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Okay, the end, the summation of all things, the teleos, the culmination of all things is at hand. And this was 2,000 years ago, and we're closer than ever. All right, and I'm not skipping over verse 6, but I want to say something. You know, the Bible says that God separates the sheep from the goats. Sometimes God has to separate the sheep from the sheep. Now, in this quest to be the person God wants us to be, there have been times that Christian people, I had to get away from certain Christians. Not that they weren't saved, they were. But let me just say this, and you're going to have to use discernment. We love all people. We want to do right by all people. But at the same time, there can be people in your life that hinder the growth God is trying to impart to you. And whether it's a critical spirit or whether it's carnality or gossip or whatever, and you know, I don't want to belabor this point too much. There's the separation of the sheep from the goats. Sometimes there's the separation of the sheep from the sheep. You read me, Bert?
Yeah. Have you ever, when you was youth minister, did you ever use the illustration of somebody getting up in a chair and you're going to try to help somebody up in your chair and you put your hand down, but you have that person below, they wind up pulling you down off that chair. And so there's, and again, I'm not talking about being haughty, but there's got to be some kind of separation. Come out from among them and be separate. Let God be God. And it goes back, Alex, let's clean it up here for sure. The will of God, the will of the pagans. Which one will you follow? You're going to follow one. Let's follow the will of God. Amen.
Amen. Good word. Good word. Folks, you're listening to Exploring the Word with Bert and Alex on the American Family Radio Network. The phones are going to open up with your questions, so call in 888-589-8840. Your questions and more when we come right back.
Come on, man.
It's a no-brainer. Men go to the men's restrooms and women go to the women's. But that's not how President Biden sees it. He issued an executive order allowing men to go into women's restrooms, effectively putting women and children in danger. This order includes any public high school and university that receives federal funding.
Come on, man.
Act now. Send an email to President Biden and tell him, come on, man, protect our women and children from predators. Just go to afa.net. afa.net.
I think it's one of the things that as Americans, we don't often understand the difficulty and the challenge of living and working in a second language all day long, every day. Your brain is just literally exhausted.
Serving as a missionary abroad brings a set of challenges that we don't often think about. Let's be faithful to pray for and encourage the missionaries we know. a thought from Exploring Missions. Heard Sunday mornings at 4 Central and Sunday afternoons at 1 Central on American Family Radio.
And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. When queried by the Pharisees concerning the greatest commandment, Jesus answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." He then said the second greatest commandment is, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." He didn't simply say you shall love your neighbor. He said Christ followers must love our neighbors as ourselves. Christian duty requires us to employ discernment and active empathy. We worship our Lord when we put ourselves in one another's shoes as we do life together and resolve misunderstandings.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner, or visit the podcast page at afr.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
This is Dr. Stephen Rummage with today's Moving Forward Minute. Psalm 19, verse 10 says this of God's Word: "It is more to be desired than gold, even much fine gold." A book collector paid $47,000 for one leaf of a 500-year-old Gutenberg Bible, renowned as the first book ever printed. The collector valued his purchase greatly and treated his one leaf of that antiquated Bible with great respect. He couldn't read it, however, because the text is in Latin. It's still God's Word, but it didn't change anything about him. What value do you place on your Bible? God doesn't intend for your Bible just to be on display. He intends for your thoughts, actions, and your life to be shaped by its truth. The greatest value of your Bible is how it changes your life. For more resources, visit movingforwardradio.org. Join me every Sunday morning at 8:30 Central for Moving Forward right here on AFR.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word, Bertie and Alex. I just want to remind you, one of the things Exploring the Word does, we're big on the moral issues, even when it is in the political realm. In other words, it's not the politics and us invading those politics, it's the politics invading us. And one of those is the transgender movement that's really going around. And AFA.net, you can go there and find out what's going on. And even in many states like Mississippi, our state, and other states, I think it's like Tennessee and others, they're passing laws where men participate in men's sports and women participate in women's sports and other things like that. So go on FA.net and find that information. There's even alerts there that will help you to know that. Alex, that's so important. We don't want to spend a lot of time on it. We don't bypass those things, but this is one of those things we need to let our voices be heard.
Amen. Exactly. And, you know, the Bible does speak to all these issues, because though we have, you know, different things from computers to, you know, cybersecurity and all sorts of things like that, health issues, COVID, you know, public policies about bathrooms and things like that, ultimately, the foundational moral principles of God's Word covers everything, doesn't it?
It does. And so be involved in that. We encourage you to. AFA.net. Well, let's go to the phone lines. We got people ready to ask their questions. Let's go to Tennessee and talk to Trinity. Trinity, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Yeah, first of all, I like to say thank God for you guys and your love for everybody's show. It just beams out. And I just want to tell you, everybody feel like they love when they call your show. Okay.
Bless you.
All right. That being said, this thing called Bitcoin, I don't know that much about it. I've heard it, you know, for the last couple of years. And then I've been hearing people talk about the mark of the beast and the new currency and all that kind of stuff like that. Do you guys know anything about the mark of the beast? And is this do you guys know anything about the Bitcoin? Is there anything perhaps might be tied into it?
Great question. Let me jump in on this a little bit, and thank you for listening, sir, and thank you for your kind words. We give God the praise, and we always want to do our very best. Cryptocurrency is big in the news right now because money, you know, we are used to handling dollar bills and coins. You know, money is a unit of value. Now, along comes checks, and you could write a check, and a check represents value. Well, cryptocurrency is that you have money, but it's not paper and coins or even a check. It's units on a computer screen. And so Bitcoin, as I understand it, was the first, and people can buy stock, and people are making creating a lot of wealth with Bitcoin. Now along comes several other competitive cryptocurrency. They're electronic units of money, quote unquote, value. There's one, something like, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, Dogecoin. But here's the thing. I'm not saying that any current cryptocurrency brand is the mark of the beast. And really the question is, what is going to be the dominant one? Just like Windows became the dominant software platform, and then, you know, Apple and Windows have been competitors. And there are many examples I could give. So which cryptocurrency is going to become the dominant one in the world? If you knew that, you could buy that stock and do well. Is it the mark of the beast? No, but I see where it could pave the way for that, because the book of Revelation describes a cashless society in the future where cash is not used anymore. But to buy or sell, you're going to have a certain mark. And I would say this, folks, we are rushing to the time where, I mean, the hardware is on the table now where the whole wide world could be cashless. Now, you think about this. A few years ago, there was PayPal, and PayPal is still out there, and PayPal is huge. I mean, if you buy things online, you can transfer money from your bank to the vendor from which you're buying something, or you could use a credit card, Visa, MasterCard, and transfer money. I mean, you pay for things with a click of a mouse, and then it's billed to your credit card that you probably look at on an app, and you pay your credit card. So right now, people are doing a lot of commerce without handling real money. And they said a few years ago, PayPal had a bigger GDP than most nations. So it's just suddenly overnight, companies that were an idea 10 years ago are handling billions and billions and billions of dollars, more than some small nations. So, Bert, here's my point. The day is going to come, and it may be soon, when they say, you know what, we don't use cash anymore. Here's the portal. Sign up. Get yourself a username and password. Everybody has to buy or sell using this interface. Will it be Bitcoin? I don't know, but I think part of the end time scenarios of Revelation will involve some form of cryptocurrency, and we're watching cryptocurrency be birthed right now.
Let me add one thing, and that is this. Before there was the dollars and the coins, there was the bartering. And what will happen, those of us that believe that the church will be raptured, we will not be there, but those people that become believers during that, they will make their way by going to the original way, not dollar bills, not coins, but bartering. And so I love to do that. I grew up on the farm, and my dad, he would help one man, farmer, do this, and they'd come back and help do that, and they would keep up with it that way. And the oldest form of that is still around if we find it, Alex. So I couldn't help but think of that. Okay, thank you, Trinity. Thank you for your remarks. And I just want to tell you, we love our callers because they make this program special for us, and we appreciate it. Let's go to Virginia and talk to Kent. Kent, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hey, good, good afternoon there. Love your show. Best show in any media. My question is pertaining to obedience and into the New Testament, but also from the Old Testament, and especially around the Holy Days. How am I as a Christian of today to be obedient to the Old Testament is okay. My question.
Good question, Kent. Alex, moral law, let me see. I heard a sermon the other day, and it was talking about principles and in precepts. The principles are some things in the Old Testament that you find under the law about certain mm-hmm. clause and not eating certain foods with certain foods, but you don't find them repeated in the New Testament. But in the New Testament, you find all but one of the Ten Commandments repeated in the New Testament. Those are precepts we're to live by. And so, Richard, those holy days, it's good to know them. And I want to just tell you, I think it's good to be learning from them. But Christ came along and, listen, he's the one that fills them up. So our concentration is not on those days. Our concentration is on the person of Christ. Alex, take it further.
Well, you know, how do we as New Testament Christians, we're under the new covenant. The old covenant was operate the tabernacle, make the sacrifices, and you're doing that shows that you trust one day the Messiah is going to come. And if you do these things under the old covenant, you're going to be right with God. And Habakkuk 2 says that you're justified by your faith. But under the new covenant, we know Christ was the sacrifice, and we accept what he did as a payment for our sins. So how do we handle the Old Testament, knowing that we are new covenant believers? Well, 1 Corinthians 10:11, speaking of all the things, it says, all these things happened for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Well, the basic import of 1 Corinthians 10 is that we are to remember the wilderness of Moses and the whole Old Testament. So I think the Old Testament, for one, we learn so much. It is so instructive of who God is. It is so encouraging about how God keeps his promises. It is, frankly, very reassuring of how God sustains his people, even Israel, when they would fall into sin and become bound and enslaved, and God would deliver them. Frankly, there's tons of great truth, historical knowledge, I mean, facts about creation and salvation. So I do think that we need to stay immersed in the Old Testament, not that we're reverting to the law and the tabernacle, but that I think everything of the new covenant is only completely understood through the lens of the old covenant. And when it says in verse 11, you know, these things, the Old Testament, that is, are examples written for our admonition, that means teaching and correction, and upon whom the ends of the earth have come, Jesus and his church, that's what all this is about. And since that's the sole purpose of history, Jesus, his church, and you being a part of it, I don't think you can completely understand the story nor live the Christian life unless you are feeding at that banquet table called the Old Testament.
Amen. Thank you, Kent. It's still relevant, but you got to put it in context concerning
yes.
what we do, and that's it. Okay, let's go to Wisconsin and talk to Richard. Richard, welcome to Exploring the Word. Okay, had his radio on, so Richard, turn that radio off. Let's go to Texas and talk to Chad. Chad, welcome.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, you're loud and clear. Welcome, brother.
Well, thank you. Thank you guys for what y'all do. I think y'all have already partially answered some of my question here earlier during y'all's program. But my question to y'all today comes from Proverbs 13:20, where it says, walk with the wise, you'll become wise. Company of fools, and you'll be in trouble, for harm will be brought to you. Mm. Does that more morally concentrate on, like, your friends, the people you keep around you? Or can it even go to your people you are employed with, your coworkers?
The answer to that is yes, both and. Alex, it really is. You know, that's why, the work you do, here, I'll give you an example, and you take it away. Daniel, Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego had to be there in Babylon. They had to be there. But notice, there was a separation from them, and even, quote, their employer, the ones that owned them. They said, you know, and so there has to be that separation. If not, you'll be the companion of fools. Go ahead.
Well, and, you know, you mentioned Proverbs 20, but also I think about Proverbs 20, I think it's Proverbs 27, where it says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man is sharpened by the countenance of his friends, literally shaped. And I've heard it said, you know, show me the friends you keep and the books you read, and I'll know a lot about who you'll be in 10 years. And so, you know, we need to always stay in the lives of lost people to be a witness and everything like that. But when it comes to the associations that you pull in close and that you spend a lot of time with, you want to be with people that are going to point you onward and upward, not pull you backward. Bert, playing guitar, and I've played in church a lot, and I was in several groups. All the musicians that, you know, taught me things, they used to say, play with people who are better than you are. Because you as a musician, if you play along people that are better than you, it generally will force you to practice up and reach the next level. And I think morally, spiritually, in a way, I mean, that's one of the reasons I've tried to hang around, you know, really godly men, not just to try to hobnob with my heroes, but whether it's a Josh McDowell or a Bert Harper or, you know, Pastor Mark Sink, who discipled me so many years ago, you become that which you associate with, don't you, Bert?
You do. Most folks know that Jen and I have grandchildren. One of them plays basketball. Well, two of them play basketball. And one of them that he's been on the program with us before, he plays up. In other words, at his age, he doesn't play at that age. He plays at the next age up. And
right on.
It has increased his ability, the hand and eye coordination, the knowledge, and so forth. That's physical, playing the guitar, musical. How much more important is that spiritually? And Alex, have you ever heard Sunday school teachers, small group leaders, when do they learn the most? Not when they're under someone, but when they've been, they take the leadership role and they begin to seek and look at material that is driving them to know the answers and being asked questions. It just works that way. So, Chad, that was great, brother.
That was a great question. And let me say this too, and I don't say this out of pride or anything, but just as mature people maybe help us up in our growth, someday it's us that little ones are following in our footsteps.
We need to surround ourselves. We need to have people before us that we're following. We need to have some people behind us who are following us. And we need to have people that we're accountable to beside us. If you look at that hedges us in. That's what you're looking for. That's what you want. Alex, it's been good. Man, 1 Peter is awesome, isn't it?
It is. Folks, we thank you for listening. And tomorrow, Exploring the Word is going to be on with a show of just questions. But tell somebody about the American Family Radio Network, but most of all, tell everybody about Jesus, and I ask you, please, pray for America.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.